Our next case for argument is 21-2158, Holly Matic Corporation v. the Director and CEO of Defense Missionary Agency. Mr. Cordade, please proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Bruce Cordade here on behalf of the appellant Holly Matic, Inc., a contractor with a long history with the federal government, no prior complaints of any kind. Submitted a proposal that complied with the plain language of the commissary equipment description and the definitions cited therein. Delivered mixer grinders that performed exactly as they were warranted to do, with the only problem being user error. But then
you
at a certain
point, have an alternative version of the facts. I mean, when you offered these two motor grinders, did you have those in possession? Were you making two-motor grinders that had been certified under the applicable standards when you offered them under the solicitation?
When we submitted the bid, Your Honor, no. We had not previously made two-motor grinders. But when we delivered them, which is, that's the definition under the FAR, the applicable reg, they were, in fact, dual motors, that all the parts were UL approved.
Had they been certified?
Not at the time that they were delivered. There was a mistake, which we admitted as soon as we became aware of that mistake.
How is that possibly consistent with the solicitation, which required that when you bid on them, I mean, maybe you have a different view, but when these are commercial item things, it means you are producing a commercial item that you can sell that meets the requirements of the contract.
Well,
you did not have a commercial item that you could sell that met the requirements of this contract at the time you submitted a solicitation, right?
Actually, Your Honor, under FAR 2.101 sub 2, the definition there says that it is an item that evolved from an item described under Section 1. And Section 1 is, you've got it, you're using it, it's readily available, it's being produced in the marketplace.
Did you explain that to them when you submitted this, that you had to develop this item? This wasn't a development contract for some kind of new meat grinder with two motors that had never been used. There were two motor grinders on the market, and that's what they wanted, and you didn't have one.
Your Honor, what we submitted was a proposal that said that if we were awarded the contract, we would provide two motor grinders that would meet all the requirements, and that's exactly what we did, with the exception.
But the question is, you have to overcome the legal finding by the board that the solicitation called for an existing product, whether or not it was under one or two in terms of the definition. It had to be an existing product that at the time that it was existing was UL and NSF approved. So that's the interpretation of the solicitation. So if that's correct, that the solicitation called for an existing product certified, the question would then be, did your client make any representations with regard to that requirement? And the board, as a matter of fact, then found that you made representations. So from my perspective, for you to prevail, you have to overcome that interpretation of the solicitation.
Exactly. And that's why I think the interpretation was an error, because they only looked at subpart one.
Well, but even if the product is a commercial product under two, okay, then the question is it existing or is it in development or is it a prototype or whatever?
Nowhere in the actual solicitation, at least that I'm aware of, does it say it has to be existing?
Well, the government points to at Appendix 2 is where they're pointing to the part of the solicitation, which is B4. It calls for that you are, have to make your proposed products meet or exceed, not that they will meet or will exceed, that they meet the mandatory requirements. And you made the argument that proposed means something you can deliver later on, and the government challenged that. They even used a pejorative term to describe your argument, right? And they said that the meaning of proposed, as you already admitted yourself, proposed means the fact, what the thing that you're making an offer about, not as to whether or not it exists.
But again, our focus, and I agree with the description of the pejorative.
But if we interpret proposed in that thing as the government suggests we should, instead of as you suggest we should, then we have a solicitation that called for existing products.
But nowhere did the solicitation ask for an existing product. It asked for a commercial product. And to get to the commercial product, you have to go to the definition. And the definition under sub 2 says that it is an item that evolved from an item described in paragraph 1, which is the one motor, but will be available in the commercial marketplace in time to satisfy the delivery requirements under a government solicitation. Mm-hmm. So then you focus on the delivery requirements, and there's no question that Holly-Matic received orders and Holly-Matic fulfilled orders. And it fulfilled orders with equipment that worked, but for user error. And then when it was pointed out that there was no UL certification, Holly-Matic fell on its sword immediately and said, we made a mistake, and they cured it within the 10-day cure period. So they submitted.
How does that, even if you cured it, how does that satisfy the requirements of the solicitation? You weren't proposing products that met UL certification.
We were proposing products.
So products you delivered didn't even have UL certification. You want to pass that off as a mere mistake, but it didn't comply with the terms of the contract, even if we accept your definition of what proposed means. I mean, the history of this contract suggests that you really, I mean, you knew full and well what it was requiring, because you initially proposed your single motor grinders and got rejected as technically deficient. So you knew you had to propose a dual motor one, but you didn't have one.
So we designed one, Your Honor, and submitted drawings and
specifications. But it wasn't a design contract. If it was a design contract, you could have said, we don't have one, but we can supply you one by changing the design of our... You didn't tell the government that, did you? The government had no idea that you were proposing a product that you didn't actually make at the time.
Actually,
that's the misrepresentation we're talking about here, isn't it?
Your Honor, I don't believe there was a misrepresentation. What we represented...
Where did you tell the government, we only have a single motor one, but in time for this, we can complete a redesign of our current product that will meet your specifications?
Your Honor, that is part of the definition.
No, where in your specification did you lay out those facts, not relying on your definition, your legal interpretation? You didn't tell them that anywhere, did you?
Your Honor, we submitted with the single motor.
Which was not technically...
Exactly.
Appropriate.
But we submitted that, and it had an approval chart that showed this has been approved for years.
The single motor product had been approved, no question about that.
Correct. Then when we submitted the second proposal for the dual motor, there was no approval chart because it had not been approved. We were telling them it had not been approved.
Show me in the appendix where you told the government, we don't have a dual motor, but we're going to develop one and get it approved.
We were never specifically asked that, Your Honor, so there was no dialogue one way or another. We were asked to submit a proposal that met the definition of a...
I don't know why you've appealed this case. Do you really want a precedential decision from us saying you defrauded the government, like the board's already said?
No, Your Honor, and that's exactly why we're fighting it, because we don't believe...
The consequences are very severe.
Yes, they are, but our client believes that it acted honestly, made a mistake. It may have breached the contract, but it did not intentionally defraud. It did not make any misrepresentations. It said...
Do you really think that the government awarded you this contract knowing that you still had to develop and get this product tested and certified?
Your Honor, under the standards, I don't think it's relevant. I think that under the standards, as long as we are able to provide them with a product that is certified and can perform.
Which you didn't do.
And that's the breach of the contract. And so we fully intended to get it UL certified. We had never had a problem like this before. It fell through the cracks. As soon as it was brought to our attention,
you didn't have a problem because all the other ones you were providing grinders for allowed you to do a single motor. I get it. You provided them satisfactory equipment for years, and they changed their requirements, and you still wanted to supply it, but you didn't have the commercial item.
Again, Your Honor, under the definition of sub 2, we did have a commercial item.
It depends on whether or not sub 2 is interpreted to require an existing product. I mean, you're assuming that 2 provides for a developmental product. And I mean, there hasn't been any case law under 2 to interpret that. But when they talk about a product that evolves from a product described in 1, the product in 1 has to be existing, correct? No question about that. And they're saying all that's really happening is that it has evolved from. So it's like a prototype. And they said the only problem is 2 is dealing with a product that I believe exists but has not yet come in the commercial marketplace. If you look at the definition, right? It's not yet available in the commercial marketplace.
It's
a prototype perhaps on the shelf, but the reason why it isn't a commercial product is because it isn't in the marketplace yet. And 2 is simply allowing for, I think, an existing product to get in the marketplace.
And Your Honor,
so that's why I keep pointing out, to me at least, sir, that your first hurdle is to overcome the interpretation of the solicitation. Because if the solicitation didn't call for an existing product, then there's nothing you could make a representation towards that would be bad.
So and again, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I know, but you haven't made, the government has made in its brief a counter to your argument that proposed means what you think it means as opposed to an existing product. And you haven't used any of your argument time to talk about the legal meaning of the word proposed in the solicitation.
And, Your Honor, I would argue that the...
And your own brief talks about proposed meaning what the government says it means.
Your Honor,
at page 27, I think it is, yeah, in your brief. So that's, I mean, I feel for where your client is because I certainly appreciate what the consequences are, but there's a legal question first, which is the interpretation of the solicitation. And if you can't overcome that, I think you're dead because it's just a fact question on the misrepresentations.
And again, Your Honor,
I don't mean to be harsh, but I mean, I've been trying to find, because I know what the consequences are for your client. And if I were free to say, oh, I'm sorry, there was no representation, I'd love to do that, but because of the reputation of your client in previous dealings with the government.
Your Honor, they had a proposal says we will provide a product. We propose that we would provide a product that complies.
That meets or that will meet. The words in the solicitation are, I want a product that meets, meaning present tense.
And it meets sub 2 under FAR 2101 because it has evolved.
That's not what it says. It says any item that evolved from. It suggests that that product is already existing, but is not yet in the commercial marketplace. But you didn't even have a prototype.
We had designed a prototype, Your Honor, that we were able to deliver before
When you proposed this, did you have a prototype? Were you even going to make a prototype if you didn't get this bid?
No, because we had designed...
I thought there's evidence from your person saying that there was no intent to make this thing unless you got the contract.
Because the single motor worked fine.
No, but I mean, that's going to Judge Hughes' question as to whether or not you actually had a prototype, you know, in the shop with 2 motors in it, and there's no evidence that that was true.
You're trying to turn 2 into a developmental criteria, and it's not. It's just a different commercial item that... It is existing in somebody's possession, but hasn't yet gone to market, but will. The one you had ultimately supplied wasn't existing anywhere when you proposed it, right? That's the misrepresentation.
But, Your Honor, with due respect, it was not a developmental product because when you look at the definition of developmental product, as we stated in our briefs, this wasn't something where we were saying, we're going to do something that's never been done in the marketplace before. We were saying, look, this is the industry standard, and this is how we're going to meet it, and here's the drawings showing exactly how it's going to be met. And, in fact, we did meet it. We screwed up by not getting the UL certification, and we cured that contractual breach within 10 days.
Okay, counsel, you've used all your time and your rebuttal time, so let's hear from opposing counsel and restore some rebuttal time. Mr. Grimaldi.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. Your Honors, I'd like to start with the fact issue here. And
can you actually start with the specification and show where it, I mean, your, I take it your view is that it, that even if we're looking at sub two, the item that they proposed had to meet sub two at the time of the proposal, not that it will evolve. Where does the specification make that clear?
Well, to be clear, our argument about the commercial item is that it was a, also suggests, to quote the board, that it was another reason why the board thought its interpretation of the solicitation was correct. So this court doesn't need to reach commercial items whatsoever. The answer is on appendix page 81, as Your Honor was reading. Here, we're talking about...
No, are you answering Judge?
I'm sorry,
question.
Am I answering the wrong question?
No, no, no.
I want you answering
in subsection 2 in the FAR, talking about a product that evolved, is that an existing product? Is a product a prototype, for example? Or is that a product that doesn't exist but can be brought into bearing afterwards?
It's a product that does exist.
How do you... You got a case to cite for that?
No, we don't. We don't. Not, we have. I did not find any cases where there was a item that was being developed that was considered a commercial item.
Did you go back to when the FAR was promulgated, when 2 came into existence? I tried to find that. I couldn't find it. But what...
Yeah, and I think the reason why, Your Honor, is because when you're talking about a commercial item, you're talking about an item that exists.
No, but this is expressly contemplating. This section 2 says that is not yet available, but will be available in time to satisfy the delivery requirements.
It's available on the marketplace, Your Honor, correct?
No, it doesn't say it's available on the marketplace. It's not yet available in the commercial marketplace.
I'm sorry. Let me be more clear about my statement. It says it's not yet available on the commercial item marketplace, which means it can be sitting on a shelf.
That's not what this says. Where does it say that? Where does it say it has to be sitting on a shelf?
Well, it's implied from that statement. When it says it's not yet available.
Available in the commercial marketplace.
Correct.
Okay, wait. What if I had a complete design for something, but I didn't build a prototype? What if it's a really, really, really simple product that I can manufacture in all experts agree, 5 minutes? There's
right.
No doubt it will operate because it's like a toothbrush. It's something
sure.
Really simple. Mm-hmm. It's not in physical, tangible form yet. But the entire record supports the idea that no one disputes. I can make it. It can be made in 5 minutes. And then I can mass produce it. Are you telling me a design for a product such as that doesn't meet the definition of commercial product under number 2 because it hasn't yet been physically produced?
Well, Your Honor, to back up on our argument here,
yes
our
or no.
Argument,
yes or no to my question.
I
does it have to be in
exist.
Physical existence
yes.
In order for it to... Yes?
Yes, because it might not work. I mean, like you design a toothbrush and you don't know if it works until you have it here lying in front of you. I mean,
where does this say the commercial product has to work? And I don't even know what that means, has to work, as opposed to just being available.
It has to be extant.
Has to be what?
Extant, exist, in order to
where?
Be
where does it
an
say
item.
That? Where?
I mean, the definition of an item is something that exists. It's something tangible.
Listen to your argument, as I read your brief, is that even if the product would qualify under 2, the solicitation in this case called for the product to be existing.
That's correct.
That turns on before right. Whatever it is and the word proposed and what that means.
Which is why I said this court
clear,
doesn't need to reach
now
commercial.
Now you're moving away from whether or not FAR section 2.102 by its express language requires a physically in existing product.
Yes, I'm moving away from it because this court does not need to reach the definition of commercial item under the FAR in order to find that this solicitation required an existing product.
Because like, what if the record demonstrated that everybody agreed All experts agreed for both sides. There had been depositions. Your expert agreed. The toothbrush design, yeah, really simple. Going to work. It's going to brush teeth.
Again,
and
Your
it
Honor,
does, it's not physical, but you still don't think that that could qualify under a commercial product not yet available, but which will be available in time for delivery.
Your Honor, under this solicitation, on page 81 of the
record. I'm not asking about the solicitation. Okay. I'm still focused on 2.102 because I think that you've asked for a construction of that that doesn't make any sense to me. I think it's too strict and not part
okay.
of the construction.
That's okay, Your Honor, because you don't need to reach that. I mean, we can back off from that. We can all say, right. yes, theoretically, it could be an item that is everyone knows.
Under the facts of this case, they don't even meet that.
No, not at all. I mean, that's why I'm saying don't reach the definition of commercial item because it's not relevant for this case.
Although it does in sub 2 not talk about this in future tense, that it talks about it in past tense, an item that evolved.
Correct.
So, I mean... when they submitted this, they did not have a item that they designed and were planning on producing.
Right.
They were going to design and produce it if they got the solicitation.
Right, Your Honor. And as Your Honors know, we disputed that it evolved from Model 180A.
I know you keep wanting to get back to B4 and we keep not letting you. Why don't you get to B4?
To B4, and that's appendix page 81, Your Honors. And this is the operative language for this case. I mean, it's undisputed at this point that the product was in development at the time the proposal was submitted to DECA. So when applying the law, Your Honor, you pointed out that there's a legal hurdle here, and it's the interpretation of the solicitation. And that's appendix page 81. Offerors shall submit descriptive literature, a matrix, specifications, drawings, cut sheets, and other information that demonstrates that their proposed products meet or exceed all the mandatory generalized operating specifications of a commissary equipment description, CED. Right there, that is asking for a product that meets the requirements, not a product that may meet the requirements in the future once it's actually built, tested, and it exists.
Well, and you read the word proposed to be the thing that they're offering
yes.
in their response to the government, not something that is proposal, i.e. it's in development and it may exist later on and it may not.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we point out in our brief.
And I think you point, isn't it in their brief at page 27 where
yes.
they provide a definition?
I believe it's page 27, but I'll double check that for you right now, Your Honor.
Well,
maybe we're not, maybe we're wrong. It's 28.
Got it wrong. Not 27.
28, Your Honor.
28.
And, you know, it's right here. It's the definition 2B is an offer. We're talking about, if you interpret the word proposed in B4 as requiring an item that does not exist, but it's a thought that will be built, that means no one could say.
And if proposed has the same meaning everywhere it appears in the contract, which it's supposed to under the law, then the contract doesn't make any sense.
Exactly, Your Honor.
And your adversary doesn't, you make this argument in your brief, and your adversary never responds to it.
That's correct.
It seemed to me, and I gave your adversary the opportunity to spend some time to explain why the board's interpretation of the solicitation, a matter of law, why it was wrong.
Correct.
If they could convince me that the solicitation interpretation was wrong, then they're going to win because there was nothing as to which they had made a misrepresentation.
That's correct, Your Honor. If DECA's interpretation...
The case turns entirely on the interpretation of the solicitation.
Right, because the facts are undisputed. Yes, absolutely.
What was the government asking for? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. And the text here, Your Honor, is clear. And the board got it correct. And for that reason, this court should affirm.
But, so, it's your view that we can decide this case narrowly based on the language of this solicitation. And we need not adopt a rule, for example, that every time the government issues a solicitation, a product need to be in prototype or fully functional or fully commercially available form at the time. And it's also not the case that every contractor needs to tell the government, for example, that this product is 90% of the way there, but I've got 10% more to go. Like if that 10% is easy and they're going to meet, like if they satisfy the contract.
Well, yeah, Your Honor, a blanket rule like that wouldn't fit for every solicitation because it's the language of the solicitation that controls. What Holly Madoc did may have been acceptable under a different solicitation with different language.
But a solicitation doesn't have to expressly call itself out as a design and build, for example, in order for someone to potentially submit a design for a product that's under development or production. But this solicitation, clearly by language saying it has to meet, among other things, these certifications, requires that you have a product that you're proposing that meets the certifications.
Exactly, Your Honor, yes.
Okay.
And that, I mean, what concerned me in the case was that we're dealing with electric products. Somebody can get electrocuted. And so it would seem to me that it would be reasonable that the government would want to know that you have an existing product that the UL has said isn't going to electrocute people before you even go any further in the discussions with regard to the contract.
Correct. There's a danger element to this type of product because it's also a mixer grinder to add another item.
Well, there was some question about the plug, wasn't there?
When there was
first,
a question about
the first
plug.
Delivered the one that only had one or whatever they delivered.
Correct. And Your Honor, that is the purpose of the UL certification, the NSF for sanitary reasons, is to have those in place. The governments ensure that this third-party body has determined these products to be safe or sanitary. If the court has no further questions, we respectfully request the court affirm the decision below.
Thank you, Mr. Grimaldi.
Thank you.
Mr. Cordate, I'll restore 2 minutes of rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honors. I would just point out that, again, we addressed this in our brief, but this is not a developmental product. This is not, under the definitions of the federal acquisition regulations, this is not a developmental product. This falls squarely within that sub 2. Under B4, the product meets the requirements. We described exactly how the product would meet the requirements. And we gave drawings that showed how it would meet the requirements. Every part that was used in this machine was UL certified. We screwed up and did not get the total package UL certified. And again, as soon as we found out about that, mortified would be an appropriate word, we fell on our swords and corrected it as soon as humanly possible within the 10-day contract period. So we did. We proposed, meaning we offered to provide a product that met all these certifications. This was not developmental because we actually provided drawings that showed exactly. This was
well,
not theoretical.
Whether or not it was developmental or not, at the time that you responded to the solicitation and offered product that would comply with the specifications, the product didn't exist in your shop. And the testimony, I think, quite candidly, once this was all over, your people were very honest and said, look, we never intended to build this at all unless we won the contract. You weren't going to figure that the marketplace needed a two-motor grinder, so you weren't going to start making two-motor grinders you couldn't sell.
Do you think if you had told the government that we don't actually have this, we're going to have to add a second motor to our existing one, and it will meet all your requirements, that they would have awarded you the contract?
I don't know that, Your Honor. But given the long history of Holly Madoc's relationship with the government, they may have. I don't know the answer.
Don't you think
to that.
The government gets an opportunity to know that?
I'm sorry?
Don't you think the government gets an opportunity to know that when they're awarding it to determine whether it meets their technical qualifications?
Your Honor, in hindsight, I wish that the specifications would have said that if you really are requiring something that is in production by your facility, that would have been in the specifications, but that's not what was in there. What was in there was the FAR rules, and when you look at the FAR rules, this clearly falls under sub 2. This was available, and it was delivered in a timely fashion, and it worked. And the only problem that there were no electrical issues that caused anybody...
What was the plug issue?
That was really undeveloped by both parties, that there
well,
may
so
have
we
been...
We assume there's no evidence that there was an issue.
Yeah, and it may have been a warranty issue that was it was addressed right away. But the fact of the matter is, there was no intent, there was no... This is not a contractor who deserves to have a fraud label on them. This was no intentional misrepresentation. It may have been a misunderstanding regarding unclear specifications, but there was
When you say fraud, this isn't a fraud case. There's a difference between misrepresentation and fraud. So am I wrong in understanding that your contractor does not have a fraud label on him?
Well, that's an interesting question, Your Honor, and here's why. When this first happened, when the contract was first terminated, it was terminated for failure to meet the contractual requirements. Our response was, we did meet the contractual requirements. We cured it within the 10-day period. And then for the first time, the allegation was fraud in the inducement. And from that point forward, the federal government would not discuss any sort of resolution.
Yes, but this opinion doesn't say that your contractor committed fraud. It said there was a misrepresentation. There is a legal and a significant legal difference between misrepresentation and fraud, isn't there?
But even misrepresentation implies lying. And we never lied, we being Holly-Matic, never lied about anything. We told them this was our product. We gave them drawings that showed how we would meet the requirements. It did meet the requirements. And when we messed up and didn't get the UL certification in time, we got that within 10 days. Because UL knew that everything we did was safe. UL certified it in less than 10 days. So this was no misrepresentation. It was a mistake that happened in execution of what we promised to do. We proposed to provide a product that would be UL compliant. That was our intent at the time. That was our intent throughout. We screwed up. And then they cured it within 10 days.
You described it as an option. So in your, perhaps in your mind, the option meant we don't have it yet, but we will be able to supply it on time.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
It was the product, when you finally amended your offer, was to say we have the option. The dual motor is an option.
What Ms. Liske's affidavit is what you're referring to,
yeah.
And what that specified was, we now have developed this product. We are now going to offer it. People will have a choice between a single motor or a dual motor, but since the government specified dual motor, everything that's provided to the government will have the dual motor. That was the, if you look at that communication between the two.
Does misrepresentation require intent?
If you're getting to...
I mean, isn't it possible that you could have made a misrepresentation to the government that led them to accept the contract without intending to be lying to them?
With the case law that's been cited in both briefs, Your Honor, the significance there is that to find the contract is void ad initio, that is an extreme relief. And it's awarded only in cases of egregious conduct.
I guess I could understand if Holly-Matic was going to walk away branded a fraud or branded an intentional lying, conniving company. But my understanding is misrepresentation as a legal matter does not require intent, and it could have even been inadvertent, but it does give the government grounds to terminate. And so I guess I'm not sure, because when I read the opinion, I thought the opinion focused more on Holly-Matic not telling the government this piece that they would have wanted to know in the process. And it seems to me that could be innocent, but nonetheless qualify as a misrepresentation. So I appreciate your zealous advocacy on behalf of your client. I appreciate their position, and they've supplied the government for a long time. I guess I just don't read these opinions as even requiring the intent that you're worried about they're branded with, or calling them a fraud, or any of that, for what it's worth.
May I address the question?
Yeah, I don't know what the question was, but yeah.
Well, the question was what's the significance, and the significance is again.
Well, $500,000.
If a finding that the contract is void ab initio is a finding that this was egregious conduct, and there was no egregious conduct, there was definitely a mistake, there was definitely a misunderstanding between the parties, but there was not egregious conduct that requires declaring it void ab initio.
But there's no hint in the opinion below that the conduct was egregious, that there was a malice or anything like that, right? There's a simple question about whether or not what did the solicitation call for? If it called for an existing product that was at the time certified, were there any representations made with regard to that requirement? And the board made fact findings that they thought there were sufficient fact representations from your client that they did have the product in hand and that it was at that time certified.
Again, I may be reading too much into it, Your Honor, but the finding that it was void ab initio in and of itself.
Okay, counsel,
yes.
I thank
you,
both counsel. This case is taken under submission.
Thank you, Your Honor.